Welcome to Pool Party Radio, the number one podcast for bolt action pipe rifles and their modifications in all of the Commonwealth. This is Parker, joined as always by Mr. Cumulus.
What's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Feeling pretty relaxed and happy after a big Cranksgiving celebration.
Yeah? What'd you get into?
Oh, just tough stuff, you know, like I just beat up like a lot of dudes in Fallout.
Okay. Did you use your fists in the game?
No, I actually didn't, although I would really like to. I'm already like eyeing playing this game over again and beating people up with my fists, but we might have talked about this. But I made a dude who's like just like a real smooth talker in Fallout, and this game's not about that. In this game, you have to shoot hundreds of people all the time, and so my character is a hopeless loser. But I did manage to kill a couple of guys for Cranksgiving, so it's not a complete wash. It worked out.
Right on. Jason Statham would be proud.
Mm-hmm. Did you do some tough stuff?
I went to one of the toughest cities in America, as it turns out. I didn't realize I was getting into this, but I went to Shreveport, Louisiana. This city is tough as nails, baby. And yet they have like a soft side. It's got like frozen daiquiris, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can get them almost anywhere, mainly at liquor stores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dayton had a drive-through place like this once, and the workaround, and I don't think this played out in Dayton because I don't remember them doing it for very long, but here in Shreveport, it works because they put a piece of tape over the top of the plastic lid where the straw would go, and then give you a straw on the side. And apparently that's legal and totally cool to do. You can just walk out with that and be like, thanks for the frozen daiquiri. I got an eggnog flavor. It was tastacular with an extra shot in it.
Nice. It sounds like you're living the dream.
It was, yeah. I've had dreams like that, and I was surprised to be living it. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I love that. I love fun loopholes that trick the man into letting you do cool ass shit that they don't want you to do.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was surprised that they had this option available just to be like, yeah, you can. The law says this, but listen, it only goes so far.
Yeah,
so this have is some fun.
As people who are like not in the quote unquote 1%, you know, like those guys, they get like a lot of cool loopholes. Like all you got to do is like get your lawyer to like sign some paper and like you don't have to pay taxes or whatever it is, like however that works, you know, like you just put your money in a Cayman Islands and now all of a sudden you live tax free. You get those kind of loopholes. Like if you got money, these are our loopholes.
Yeah.
We go to a drive through and we get to get a drink that's fully alcoholic. They put some duct tape on it, and bam, we're in business. We're bypassing all your laws. We're not paying attention to what you have to say, and it's all completely illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was pretty tough in its own right. I don't remember ripping anybody's shirt. I don't remember ripping anybody's shirt, so I don't know if that happened.
But, yeah, but if you were drinking a lot of daiquiris, you could have ripped some shirts.
Pretty loaded. It was pretty good.
That may be the toughest kind of shirt ripping. The shirt rippings you don't even remember.
Yeah. So to anybody out there whose shirt I may have ripped, I am not sorry. It was in the spirit of the holiday. Better luck next year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Get a higher thread count on that cotton shirt next year if you don't want it ripped.
That's right. Don't skimp on your clothes. You got to keep that stuff tear-free. Speaking of tough stuff, we have an email about, well, I assume it's Cranksgiving, but it's Thanksgiving related.
Not a holiday we celebrate here.
Not usually, no. But do you want to see what it's about?
I do, yes.
Okay. So if we got that ready, this is another voicemail. It says it's from Danny. He says, keep getting your voicemails. Gonna have to change my number. And I'd agree. So yeah, do you have that up?
I will in just one moment. Tell me more about the daiquiris you drank in the meantime. Hopelessly underprepared.
Oh, they're super cold. The extra shot is definitely noticeable. You had to like stir it around to help it blend, or else you're just drinking a shot through a straw, which is not that great. But this place, they sell them in like small, medium, and large, and they were so disproportionate. Usually, like there's only like a couple of fluid ounces between those sizes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was like, it was obscene. The small was basically like a small at McDonald's. The medium is like a large at the movie theater, and then the large was almost the size of a bucket. Like it was gigantic. It was like a two handheld thing. I don't know if you'd even fit in like a cup holder, but that's how much daiquiri you'd get for your fucking dollar.
I like that. I like those sizes in relation to being filled with alcoholic drinks. I'm going to sound like a total grandpa here for a second, but I ordered a medium drink at a place the other day, and they brought me some shit that was like, it was like 44 ounces or something. And it's like, what the fuck kind of medium is this? What? Like, no wonder every single kid on earth has diabetes. You're giving them 44 ounces as the goddamn medium. Back in my day, if you got a medium, it was like 4 ounces.
You know? Yeah, yeah. it was depressingly small, but it's all you needed, you know?
It's all you needed.
Yeah.
These kids today, they don't understand the troubles we had. But right. We don't understand the troubles they have with their diabetes and dying at age 6.
Yeah, I'll never know that. I'm well past that. So, speaking of, on my way down, or my way from Shreveport, I passed through Texarkana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a border city. If you've ever seen the movie or heard the song Smokey and the Bandit, and that title track, Eastbound and Down, by What's-His-Face, Louisiana, you know, What's-His-Face?
Yeah, What's-His-Face, I know.
He talks about, like, he basically retells the story of the movie. And how they have to get from Texarkana to Atlanta. They had to, like, transport Coors through those states because they couldn't get Coors in Georgia or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, Texarkana is on that border. I didn't see much of it, but I passed through it. And they had bottles of, like, original Dr. Pepper formula there where they brew it with sugar, like cane sugar, instead of corn syrup. I never thought I'd be talking like one of those dudes where, you know, corn syrup sucks, regular sugar is better because I wouldn't really give a shit, but oh my god, tastes totally different, man.
I know, it's wild. It's a wild difference.
Oh, it's so fucking good. And it's like, all I need is one for the week. It's extra, extra strength. That's what I imagine it is when, like, people who smoke unfiltered cigarettes after smoking, like, filtered cigarettes are just like, know what? This is it. I'm done. I just needed this instead of getting like some weird other garbage.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Living here, I'm privy to the occasional Mexican soda. And in Mexico, they use actual sugar and not syrup. And it's so good. Mostly I see Cokes and like Pepsi sometimes and like Mountain Dew a lot of the time. It's rare that I see a Dr. Pepper like that, but man, it's like, I don't even like Coke, but I'll drink Coke with normal sugar in it because it's so tasty, like you say.
Yeah, yeah, those Mexican Cokes, Mexican Cocas are really good. There's a lot of like people who moved from Mexico in Little Rock area, so there's a ton of El Pastor taco trucks everywhere, and they'll sell like Mexican Cokes. Or Jarritos, those, I think I talked about those a while ago. Like those Jarritos sodas, kind of like orange, pineapple, lime. Those are my go-to flavors, but then they have like Terramin and shit that are super good. It's just, you have to be in the mood for it, I guess. Or I have to be in the mood for it. And yeah. Those are like real sugar stuff, real sugar jams. They've got horchata too. Of course, that's incredible.
Good stuff.
Apparently, it's like, you know, if we're going to equate things like to, or make things analogous as what it's like in Mexico, it's kind of like chocolate milk for Americans. Like, if you see a dude, like a grown-ass man drinking chocolate milk, on the street, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of strange. Like, if they're wearing a suit and stuff, you know? If you're just, like, some bum hanging out, then you probably won't think anything of it. But if you're, like, a dude in a suit and you're drinking, like, Nestle Quick out of a box, like, sipping it through a straw, like, what? Okay. That's unusual.
I'm glad you agree, because I was just on junk food dinner talking about how drinking drinks through a straw from a box is the weirdest shit. And I think Sean Byron took offense to that.
That's super weird. Like, those things are developed with a nozzle to pour into your mouth. Like, I don't understand why you need, unless you had, like, arthritis or something, then, yeah, you don't need a straw.
Yeah, and you really don't even need to drink out of a box. I think it's an unnatural way to carry liquids.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. watching old episodes of The Simpsons where, like, Bart is drinking soda from a can with a straw, I can't even fathom that now. It just seems really weird. And I remember somebody trying to point out to me, like, no, you see the pull tab at the top that punctures the can? You swing that around, and you put the straw in it. It's like, no, we're thinking about this too much. You don't need a straw at all. Like, why are you trying to finagle a can to hold a straw better when you don't even... What is this? What conversation are we even having right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's always weirded me out. Because it's like, you don't need the thing to hold the straw extra tight. It's not like anytime I put a straw in a can of soda, I'm having this crazy time keeping it in there. It's falling out. It's coming out. Like, it stays in either way.
Yeah, you have like one of those frustrated montages in black and white during one of those infomercials. We're like, why can't the straw just be in one place?
Yeah.
It's oh, like, my God.
It's flying out of the can, hitting me in the eye.
Like, oh, Jesus, my eye.
If only my pull tab had a little ring.
There's got to be a better way.
Speaking of better ways, mm-hmm. Annie sent us this voicemail, as you said.
Yes.
You'll remember last time, or two times ago, he sent us a voicemail that came to him. Our numbers were only one off, apparently. So he sent it to us. He forwarded it along. We got the same thing here. Here it goes. We're going to be listening to it right about, you know, just in a second.
Feel you.
It's coming. We're going to listen. It's probably going to be very good. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. You ready for it, Frisbee?
I'm so ready.
How y'all doing, Pool Potty? Gobble, gobble. It's your buddy Tom Turkey. Just in time for Thanksgiving. Say, really love this podcast that you got going here. A couple of young white men with some strong politics just telling it like it is. So what happened to that young lady you had on your show a while back? She wasn't afraid to speak her mind. Podcast town don't like her, but I love her. Real credit to her race. You can tell she wants to make America great again. Well, now they got the family settled in here after our big move. Probably hear them back there in the background. They're so excited how to get out of that big city. Too many urban youths, if you know what I mean. Got all my sons here with me. Tanner, Logan, Hunter, Chase, Trevor, Preston, Colin, Connor, Ian, Cameron, Ashton, Levi, Tucker, and my beautiful daughter, McKinley, Karen, Caver, Kaylee, Turkey. So much happier now, away from all that crime, rap music, baggy pants, interracial schools. You know, McKinley came home from school one day, and she had these metal rings stacked around her neck, stressing it all out, all this red mud in her hair, this big plate in her lip, making it all flappy and whatnot. That's it. We're out of here. Packed up, moved to this beautiful, clean, lily-white community out here in the suburbs of South Carolina. I can see the rebel flag waving from my porch. Brings a tear to my eye. It's heritage, not hate, son. Well, maybe a little bit of hate. Listen, I know you fellas like movies. I've got to suggest a few of my favorite flicks. I've probably seen them, but some of the classics. White Dog, Snow White, Single White Female, White Chicks. Maybe the funniest movie I've ever seen. Goodbye, Uncle Tom. I chase the giggles every time I think about it. Oh, man. Anyways, hope you boys have a good Thanksgiving. Stay away from that dark meat, if you know what I mean. I mean, you know what I'm saying, the dark meat? You know what I mean? Black people. Caucasian cohorts. Trip Carson 2016. Carson's one of the good ones.
Oh,
It's got a lot of bullets.
A lot of, yeah. I like that he's got the jug band with him for whenever he makes a call.
Yeah, somebody ready. Maybe that was him on banjo, like playing, picking with one hand and shooting with the other. Did you notice that even the turkeys got quiet, uncomfortably quiet, when he said black people straight up?
Yeah, like, turkeys don't like that kind of talk.
Yeah, I feel like they were okay with the innuendo, and then when he just leveled with it, even they were off-put. I was off-put through the entire thing, but those were some southern-ass turkeys, I guess, right?
Yeah, those turkeys were very southern. They've got strong politics themselves.
Oh boy, the entire voicemail had strong politics. I was waiting for him to mention Birth of a Nation in his favorite films, but I guess it didn't come up.
Yeah. Well, I like this new fan base we're cultivating with strong politics.
Really?
This new fan base. Deep South. This is very exciting. You know, I like I just like reaching new areas with the podcast. You know, I like when it continues to grow. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's kind of a shameless reach. Just be like, literally anyone, even the most racist people.
Even the worst people, I'm glad to get them as listeners.
Well, yeah, that guy was hauling turkeys, calling podcast lines, or do we have a phone number even? Was it your phone that he was trying to call?
Yeah, but he accidentally got a listener, Danny.
Okay.
Podcast Town resident Danny's number. You know, our voicemail line is one number off from his phone. It's a very weird coincidence. And our voicemail line's number is blah, 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 if you want to call it.
Pretty simple to remember, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, that was incredible. Two voicemails in a row. If you remember last week, it was a suicide. And this week, it was social suicide. So. Mm-hmm.
What will it be next week? Anything at all. We don't want to. We're not going to be presumptuous.
But we'll I had to guess, I think it's going to be something like a soft drink suicide, where it's just going to be somebody calling and while he's mixing or she's mixing every drink at a soda fountain. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Called a suicide?
No, I would never do that in a million years.
We talked about this. I'm sorry. Yeah, but you're upset that anybody would mix soft drinks together?
Yeah, they got scientists working round the clock to create the best flavors with the 23 herbs and spices that they use that go into Dr. Pepper. And what am I going to do? Just fuck around and add a bunch of Orange Crush to Dr. Pepper, ruining a guy's lifetime of mixing just the right amount of ingredients to get that right Dr. Pepper taste? No, that's an insult. That's an insult. You wouldn't go, hey, doc, I got diabetes. Can I get some insulin? And then he hands you the insulin, and then you like put some painkillers in there too, and you put some Mountain Dew in there for good measure. These people know what it goes in. I'm not gonna fuck around with that.
Yeah, but that sounds dope as hell, though, you have to admit.
Yeah, it
would diabetes be pretty with painkillers.
That would be pretty good.
You're like, wow, my sugar levels feel balanced and I'm feeling pretty relaxed. That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah, that would be pretty nice. It's very rare that mixing around flavors gets you anywhere. There's only one man who's ever done it. His name is Arnold Palmer. And he got the two right flavors, got the right ratios. It's why you hear about him. You don't hear about old Russell from third grade who poured together the right amount of Sprite with just the right amount of Coke.
Yeah. By the way, dig this. I was eating Gus's Fried Chicken this past week, as I am wont to do, because that shit's delish. And a guy visiting from New Jersey asked if he gets some sweet tea, and he asked if they could make it in Uptown. And they're like, sorry, but what's an Uptown? He's like, it's a lemonade with sweet tea. He's like, oh, we always called that an Arnold Palmer. And he says that Uptown, that mixture of sweet tea and lemonade, derives from some, I think it's like Harlem, he said. Like some place would mix lemonade and sweet tea together and they called it Uptown because Harlem, I guess at the time, was considered Uptown. I don't know if it still is.
No, Harlem's Harlem. This story's all full of holes.
Yeah, because the Arnold Palmer origin story is that it's, yeah, the golfer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's Sweet Tea and Lemonade, so it's delicious. It's, you know, a rose by any other name, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look into this. If this is really, if this is really an uptown and Arnold Palmer stole it, this could be the biggest case of cultural appropriation in the world.
That's what I'm alluding to, is like, don't you think, if that were the case? It's like, hey, just give it to this golfer, man. It's like the whitest thing ever.
I don't know. An uptown, if you were to order an uptown in a restaurant, like if you had just told me about it without telling me what it was, I would assume it was some sort of like a martini or something, like soup, like that's it's it sounds like the whitest drink imaginable. An uptown?
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe it's just the marketing. Maybe that's why Arnold Palmer had to take it over.
Okay, from what I'm gathering, lemonade and iced tea is an uptown.
Mm-hmm.
Lemonade and sweet tea is more likely the Arnold Palmer. Like, iced tea is, I don't know, that's kind of a, for me, that's an acquired taste.
Are they not the same thing?
Sweet tea is like, it's almost like simple syrup in the tea. Like, you do a near 1-to-1 ratio of sugar to water.
Oh, like that super sweet tea. You're talking about that Southern style sweet tea.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I always considered to be part of like the Arnold Palmer recipe.
Yeah, the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
The iced tea, the stuff that your grandma would make and be like, oh, I can't because I don't want you kids getting diabetes. Fuck that, grandma. So they would add lemonade to that and do a half and half. And that's what I'm seeing as being uptown here. I just did some quick research on my phone.
Well, that's garbage.
Sounds like garbage, but I hope that gentleman's drink was tasty, though, because it was, I mean, all iced tea around here, like, I don't know if there is iced tea. It's all sweet tea, which is great. It's how it should be.
It's the way God intended it.
Yeah, it's, I think iced tea is just a, it's kind of gross. It's a facsimile.
Yeah. It's just like, I'll drink it on occasion, but it's basically just like if you wanted your water to taste dirty.
Exactly. And I think that's what it's called, dirty water, mm-hmm. around here. And that's not even like a fucking joke. That's exactly it.
Oh, well, all right, and, then.
Oh, you want some dirty water. Okay.
Speaking of dirty water, I saw this movie Creed. He lives in a crummy apartment that has dirty water.
Oh, he did?
I don't know. No, that's just making bad segues. this movie, you haven't seen it, have you?
Not yet, no. I intend to, because all I've heard are good things, great things.
It's amazing. And I definitely sobbed throughout the entire movie from, like, the very first frame.
Beginning to end? Title screen, you're like, oh!
The title screen in this movie is so emotional. It really packs a punch.
Oh, that's a good joke. You should be writing film reviews.
Every single fucking film review of that movie had a pun like that. I didn't even mean to make that pun. That's just how my brain works. I'm just always thinking in puns, son. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were all, oh, it's a knockout. The 1-2 punch.
Me from getting punched drunk.
Put on the gloves for one more run.
to lace up for another Sylvester Stallone film.
You get in the ring. It's the ring. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so, like, pretty much immediately. I don't know what it was. Like, I watched all the Rocky movies again to prepare, so maybe I was, like, just going in emotional. I don't know. But from the very first frame, like, just water was coming right out of my eyes. Like, I wasn't in full-on sob mode. Like, I wasn't, like, having to breathe deeply or anything. But there were a lot of waterworks. What are movies or TV shows or comics or books or whatever that you've enjoyed, pieces of art, songs don't count,
that I've sobbed through? Sobbed during, or like beginning to end, like you're saying, like just cried throughout?
Well, maybe not beginning to end, as that's probably not normal.
Yeah.
Before the sad stuff even happens. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. This probably comes as no surprise, but Fury Road. I saw that movie. I've seen that movie about 8 times now since its release. Well, obviously, since I saw it before it was released. Jesus. Anyway, every time I see that movie, like, there were parts that I would sob during, like, the first time that I saw it, but every time since, it's one of the last scenes that features Nux in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the scene I'm talking about? I don't want to spoil shit on this show anymore, because I'm tired of doing that.
Yeah, I remember. I think everybody's seen Fury Road, but I do remember. I actually just bought it myself a couple of days ago, so I look forward to rewatch. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Incorporates the catchphrase of the War Boys, "Witness me," and every fucking time, I watch it. I watch it on a fucking plane, and I was still like, "All right, here we go." So yeah, that's rough.
Were you worried about people witnessing you cry? Because I was certainly super worried.
No, because this was like a super. This was a super late flight to Los Angeles, and everybody was conked out anyway. I think I was the only person on board watching this. We had free channel capabilities and movie capabilities because the plane was delayed like 5 hours or something, and they couldn't get the AC to work. Which you don't think would be a problem, being so high up in the atmosphere, but whoa, it is fresh in there, man. Real, real ripe. So you're not getting like any air circulation or anything. It's, you know, this is like a train car through Bombay. Real tough.
Yeah, it gets hot up there.
Yeah, somehow. Man. Yeah, and people just sweat. And even more so, like, to make it more awkward, I was in the middle seat, and there was a nice young lady next to me on my left by the window. But then there was like this older Hispanic grandma next to me on my right side. Mm-hmm. And she had like, she was taking up all the arm space. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't need arm space. I'm a healthy young man. I'm cool without. She needs to sleep, and that's how she sleeps, upright and is comfortable. Cool. But her arm was like completely covering the volume controls on my arm on my TV set, so I kept having like sneak under like her, you know, her sleeve to get to these like volume controls and whatnot. And like, I'm so sorry, please, I'm so sorry. And she woke up once because she kept hitting, like, she would adjust and she would turn the volume way down. And I was like, ah, damn it. And she caught me once, and I'm like, at any point, like, I'm watching this thing, and I'm sorry about it. I didn't know she understood exactly what I was saying, but she's like, oh, see soon. And she, like, moved her arm off of it a bit. But then it ended up back up there anyway. I was like, that's fine. As long as she knows this is what I'm doing, not trying to, like, steal her bracelet or something.
Not just trying to, like, touch the underside of her arm for fun.
Yeah, like, I think we're having a moment here. You're asleep, but, man, I'm feeling the chemistry between us.
I'm falling in love with you, lady.
Are you watching this scene right now? Nux is making me bawl my eyes out.
That's so sad.
We're sharing a moment. Ending of Kill Bill 2. I know that's kind of lame because nobody seems to like Quentin Tarantino anymore. But yeah, that one's great.
I still like that guy. I don't like that ending too much. I hate that part where, I think it's at the end of Kill Bill 2. It might be at the beginning, where she's like just talking to the camera, like catching people up, breaking the fourth wall.
That's the beginning, yeah.
Oh yeah, like I really like that movie, but shit like that makes me hate Quentin Tarantino. Like, I don't know, it just puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Directly talking to the audience.
Yeah, like breaking the fourth wall like that. I don't know. He does like a lot of little flourishes, and like that stuff about at the end of at the end of the second one, where it's like talks about like, oh, the lion has her cub again. Like, I don't know. Like, he does little things that I don't like.
Oh, although, the text at the end I don't like. I'm talking purely about the. The conversation between Carradine and Uma Thurman.
Oh yeah, that's
Uma Thurman's strongest shit there.
Okay, yeah, I thought, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Quentin Tarantino is the kind of guy where, like, I love 95% of what he does, and then the 5% is like the worst possible. Like, he makes the worst possible choices, like 5% of the time, that ruin everything.
Yeah, I can gather that. Although I'm pretty comfortable with whatever he's doing. I mean, I take it all in with full stock that a lot of what he's doing is either an homage or he's been so influenced by other things that he wants to bring this stuff back around again. And genuinely, it's stuff that I'm not seeing a lot of today anyway. So I'm okay with it. But I'm always willing to hear the critiques. And yeah, I like the ending text at the end. Like, it fits fine for me for the film, but I totally get why anybody wouldn't not like it, because it is kind of cornball.
Yeah. I guess what else have you cried?
Well, I'm still thinking of a few. You mentioned Creed. Do you have anything else that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, well, I don't... It's very rare for me to cry during a thing, because I'm kind of a Patrick Bateman in some ways.
Yeah.
The end of Captain America First Avenger. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Remember that part when he had that date?
The stinger, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
That worked out pretty well. What else? There was... I caught that movie... What the fuck was it? It was one of those Michael Moore documentaries, and it hit me at the right time, because I was having trouble finding a place to live, and it was the one about people like having their homes foreclosed upon and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing just people like, I forget what they were up to. They were trying, now it doesn't even come to mind what scene of the movie it was, but it was somebody like trying to, like, talking about how they were having a tough time just getting by, and it sucked. I was like, this is the worst. This is the worst thing in the world. Not the movie. The movie was fine. I, you know, not that big into documentaries, but it was, I don't know. It wasn't relatable. I wasn't in the same spot as this person. I didn't own a house or anything. It was just like, fuck. Why should finding a place to live be so fucking difficult?
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
I saw that movie Sicko that he did, and the girlfriend I had at the time, she cried at the end of that movie because it's all about, like, healthcare and how healthcare is no good and everything. And, like, her dad was sick at the time, so she started crying, you know?
Yeah. I feel like if I saw it again, it wouldn't be a big deal. But, like, those other two I mentioned, and in Kill Bill 2 and near the end of Fury Road, those were rough. Weirdly, Lego Movie, end of that one. Like, the real life segments of that, how they intertwine, that was pretty... That got me choked up.
I cried during that movie, too. I was like, oh, everybody loves this movie so much, but it's just Family Guy-esque references the entire time and no real jokes. Oh, it's just so bad. Why do people like this?
Yeah, I mean, aside from being a long advertisement, I don't understand, like, Family Guy style of jokes, that's a unique blend. Like, I feel like Family Guy is, if you got a group of people together and said, hey, these are all the people who read Sunday funny comics between like 1985 and 1995, and then they're just terrible people. Here's the jokes they came up with. So it's like these little vignettes, these one shots that don't have to be like merely tangentially akin to whatever's going on. They can be like totally separate. If anybody had like this thought, but like, oh, what if? Now just hold on. What if Pol Pot was Santa Claus? And it's like that fucking South Park episode, you know, just like spitballing groups of words together in some sort of Mad Libs fuck up. And those are the jokes. Yeah, unique blend. Like somebody who had, get this, somebody had told me they had never seen The Simpsons.
That's wild.
That is amazing, right? This is like, you know, Child in the Attic, feral kid growing up stuff, but they also mentioned having seen like one or two episodes of Family Guy. Like, yeah, I mean, those animated sitcoms, and I watched some of Family Guy, and I was like, no, I don't think this entire genre is for me of like American families being animated. I was like, oh, listen, those are two very different approaches. One is awful, and one is only awful for like the past 10 years.
So. 25, probably on Simpsons. All right, how long has it been on now? 25?
I think about 25, so like maybe 20.
15. I'll get 15 years.
15, yeah.
15 bad years.
15 bad years. Which
is probably the same amount of bad years Family Guy's had. I think it's probably been on for about 15 years now.
Yeah. One of the episodes of The Simpsons actually comes to mind, talking about stuff that makes you sob. It was where Bart's trying to pass the third grade, and he's trying to study and stuff, and he gets all these permissions to be able to study more. Like, he gets a snow day and all that. You remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of, like, the earliest episodes. And he doesn't even pass a test, but then he kind of squeaks by because he's able to demonstrate applied knowledge. He ends up getting through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was tough to watch. I think it's because Nancy Cartwright's actually, like, giving it 110% during that scene.
Yeah, she's Nancy like, from Dayton, Ohio.
From Dayton, Ohio, noted Scientologist. See, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of my people.
One of yours. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I, like, shed an actual physical tear, but I probably got, like, a quivery lip during those Futurama episodes that are sad.
Oh, yeah. The dog.
The dog one, and then the six-leaf or five-leaf clover one.
Yeah, that one gives me chills.
That's a good one. I know everybody always goes to Jurassic Park when it comes to the sad Futurama ones, but I think that five-leaf clover one is way better.
Yeah, those were Minsky, right? That guy went by the... his writer's guild name is Minsky. I guess whatever his real name is was already taken.
How sad for him.
Yeah, it's sad in itself. I'm getting choked up right now.
Yeah, and that first movie they did is real sad, too.
Yeah, Futurama is like... I don't know, man. It's kind of a bummer a lot of the times.
Yeah, I never watched it when it came back to Comedy Central. Like, the first movie they did is, like, super great. And then the next three movies they did are shit, basically. And then that made me, like, not even amped up to watch that Comedy Central show. So it might have been good. I don't know. But I never watched it. What about comic books? You ever be sad over some comic books?
I don't think any of, like, the straight runs had me emotional. Like, I used to read a lot of Spider-Man back in the 90s, but never got choked up during that. It was more like the independent press stuff. I think, like, during Watchmen, like, any of the Dr. Man, like, later Dr. Manhattan scenes,
I kind of
choked up.
That's good stuff. The last episode or issue of the Max that got me. That one got me.
Nice.
I got sad for that one.
Nice. Like, I didn't... That one was so fucking... not hyped. And I wouldn't say it was, like, the most popular. Well, it hit, like, a pretty strong popularity. It had its own animated feature on a... What was it? Liquid Television?
It was, like, an offshoot of Liquid Television.
It was MTV, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had animated Max. Yeah, that was a strong showing. I just never read it. And, yeah, I'll have to go back and check that out.
It's super good. They just re-released all of them again into a new trade paperback with, like, new art and stuff. And if I didn't already have every single issue, like, 8 times, I would buy them. But I do. I can't buy them anymore, Sam Keith. I can't keep your kids through college, Sam Keith.
Yeah, some of the, like, for books, Lone Ranger Tonto, Fist Fight in Heaven, but Sherman and Lexi, there's some stories in there that had me tearing up. And that one about the dead wrestlers I read recently, Squared Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there. The last chapter of that, actually, yes, I was tearing up during that. Because he's going through, like, one at a time. If you go by the table of contents, it seems kind of weird because he's, like, taking... He goes through some early history of wrestling, carnival era, and whatnot, and the territories. And then he starts talking about, like, usually one wrestler at a time, and sometimes... Oh, the Von Erichs also. Shit. The Von Erichs were really tough to get through. But aside from the Von Erichs, the only one that couples, like, more than one wrestler together... in its discussion is the last one where it talks about Eddie Guerrero, the parallel careers of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. You're like, holy shit, this is, it's very dramatic to see these two guys who passed around the same time under completely different circumstances. Pretty messed up.
Yeah. That's true. Books tend to not get to me. I don't know if it's because, like, I don't know why. Maybe, like, because I'm reading them with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
They're too busy to cry because they're, like, moving from left to right. I don't know what it is. And, like, I don't know. I tend not to read sad stuff, maybe. Oh, I don't know. There's some stuff in I've read that's sad, I guess. But I don't know. Books just don't get to me like that.
I think White Noise also got to me. And that wouldn't be something that would be on the list of that last caller voicemail that we had. I don't think Snow White would either, to be honest. Like, it, that wasn't where I thought he was going with it. I think he just liked stuff that had white in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But sweet. Yeah, it's a Dom DeLillo book. And most of that stuff is just kind of weird, trippy indie shit anyway. But again, when that one starts wrapping up, I was getting emotional. But yeah, not too many comic books I can think of aside from the Watchmen one. I'm sure more Alan Moore stuff would get to me too. I just haven't explored all his stuff.
Yeah, the second volume of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I don't think I like sobbed openly, but it gave me that quivery lip. The when Hyde does some stuff. Mr. Hyde, you know, Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah.
Mr. Hyde does some real heroic shit at the end of that. That's pretty
Yeah, I remember that.
That's good. Well, that's all the times we've been sad, more or less. And that counterbalances all the tough stuff we talked about last time for Cranksgiving. This should be the new Cranksgiving tradition, I feel. We get tough for Cranksgiving, and then the week after Cranksgiving, we talk about all the times we got sad.
Yeah, I think it balances it out. And I feel more like a human again instead of just a ball of rage.
That's good. That's good for the psyche, for the soul. Chicken soup, as I like to call it, for the soul. I coined that phrase myself just now.
There's a place where podcast lovers go to meme their troubles away. And they call it Podcast Town, where the sweetest bros stay. Search for Podcast Town on Facebook and join a thriving community of cool dudes and rad chicks who love junk food dinner, kissing contests, pool party radio, illogical contraption, and all the best elderly classic and young blood podcasts.
So we're going to do the MVPP and MVPP.
To continue this balancing motif that we're on.
Mm-hmm. We like to balance things out. We haven't done this for a few weeks, but you'll recall that something that we started doing where we talk about the week's most valuable pool partier and most something party pooper. I forget what the...
Vile, was it?
Vile could be, or just valuable again.
Most valuable party pooper.
Sometimes it's good to value a party pooper. I don't know. Whatever you want to put in there. Venomous would work. So that's what we got going on. I'm going to do the party pooper first. Because cool. I have to ask you a question to go along with it.
Yeah.
If... All right, like, we've talked about this before. Like, if I was, dying, you would take me to Washington... So that I could have an assisted suicide, so that I wouldn't have to live in pain, right?
Right.
You're still on board with that?
I'm cool with it. Yeah, I'd rather you do whatever you want than be forced to live in pain.
I appreciate that. And then, like, say, like in that movie From Dusk Till Dawn, I was being eaten by, like, three vampires.
Okay.
Would you shoot me with... would you shoot me to end my suffering and prevent me from coming back as a vampire? Would you do that for me?
I don't know how that works. Like, hold on. Have to shoot you, or would I have to drive a stake through your heart?
Well, if you shot, if they're eating me, if you shot me before I died from their wounds, from being like sucked dry, then yeah. I would die normally. I think that's how that works.
This is like a hybrid of zombie logic and vampire logic. I thought, like, vampires had this whole weird gothic blood transfusion thing they had to do. Like, well, they bite you, and they pour their blood into their the victim's mouth.
It's sometimes like that. Sometimes they do snowball a bit. But, well, either way, like that, not even taking that into account. Like, just if I was being eaten and it, like, hurt really bad, would you shoot me in the face so that I wouldn't be getting eaten anymore? Would you do that for me?
Sure. I mean, that'd be the last thing that you see, aside from the vampires tearing away at you, but, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Because I never shot a person. And to be honest, I don't want to. But in this, like, worst-case scenario, I'd be like, well, this might be the only chance I'm going to have. So I might as well take it.
Yeah, it's me doing a favor for you. Being, you know, taking something off your bucket list.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I don't think MacGyver would approve. Like, if there's any other way that I could kill you while you're being eaten by vampires, I'd probably be down.
Like, well, I mean, you know, however you want to do it.
I would chop off your head. I'd be like, excuse me, hello, excuse me, vampires, and I would decapitate you and be like, all right, go back into town, enjoy it while he's still here. That'd be really hard to do, though. I'd have to, like, fire a guillotine at your neck from a distance.
That's true. But, you know, however you want to do it. You know, I'm not going to be picky if I'm being eaten by vampires. But now, so my third question is.
Yeah.
If a dog is suicidally upset from being physically tortured, is it okay to shoot that dog to death?
Oh, man. I'm pretty sure they'd figure out, like, a more humane way than, like, blasting the dog away. But depressed from torture on a dog.
Physical torture.
Well, can I relate something to you?
Yes.
I used to live in a neighborhood with a very depressed dog. And I can only assume this was the case because the dog would lie in the middle of the street and, like, look traffic dead on as it was coming towards him, would not move. Like, that was the saddest shit that I ever had in kind of my life. But I didn't run the dog over. I wouldn't do it. But if that's what the dog wanted and the dog had to, like, you know, if you were loading a gun in front of the dog and the dog put its paw up on the gun and moved it towards its own head, then, yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty clear message, right?
Yeah. That's a dog that clearly wants to die and is conscious enough, is woke enough to know how to do it. So, well, all right, I bring this up because my party pooper is people mostly in California, because I don't know that I witnessed a lot of this in Ohio. It maybe is a cultural thing somehow. People in California who, and I've probably talked about this before, who hate their dogs and mistreat them and are basically just torturing them to death because I have a dog who lives behind me who the owner just leaves it out all day and all night despite it being 30 goddamn degrees. And the dog barks all day long because it's so sad and so cold and freezing to death, probably getting a little frostbite. And then when it barks, the neighbor's dogs start barking. They get upset, and then those neighbors got neighbors that got dogs that are all day out in the backyard, not warm, not being taken care of, and then those neighbors got dogs that are out all day in the goddamn cold, and so it's a domino effect. It's like communism.
All right. And so are you like the, what is it, 39th parallel? Is that your house? Because you're the one who's like, no, I'm keeping my dog inside. I'm ending it here.
Yeah, in this analogy, I'm like the French.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so would it be ethical to kill that first dog because he's obviously being mistreated and his owners obviously don't want him and he's cold all the time?
Well, before we get any further, let me tell you that's definitely not legal. I don't know all of California's statutes, but I'm going to guess that if you're just like, listen, I'm going to do the ethical thing and kill this fucking dog because it won't shut up from being so cold and so depressed, yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about what's legal. What's legal and what's ethical often don't match, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, most of the time. But I just want to put that there as like a pretense, just in case, you know, you're like...
listening?
Yeah, to anybody who's listening, or to you, if you're just like, good, that's what I wanted to hear. And then I hear like a gun cock and you leave. You leave this recording just to be like, I'm doing the ethical thing. I'm standing my ground for ethics. And anyway, yeah, that seems like a rough bit. And I think in this weird ass time when people who think that the best way to protect pets is to round them up and kill them anyway, like trying to prevent pet ownership, that's like the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would rather the pets die than be pets. That's kind of fucked up. And probably worse.
Probably worse, you feel?
Yeah, probably worse.
Well, I'm not saying this is my plan. I'm just ask the ethical questions, yeah. But
yeah.
But I do want to do it deeply because I haven't, like, it, every winter it goes like this. During the winter months, this dog has been going through this ever since I've lived in this house the last, like, 3 or 4 years. And during the summertime, he's fine. He lives a happy life. He likes it. He's an 85-degree man. He likes those summer months. But in the winter, he's just pitiful. And it makes it so that I can't sleep. And I just don't like it. Also, I went to the store the other day, and there was a dog tied to a trash can that was trying to, like, chew through its collar to get away. And it was very cold that day, too. Just people in California, they suck. I don't know what it is. Like, I think that they think the dogs are superheroes and, like, just don't mind being out in 30-degree weather and without any goddamn clothes on, and, like, that they can survive that somehow. I don't know. I just don't know what's up with Californians. It seems like every single person with a dog, except for me, is really just shitty to their dog and wants them to die and doesn't care about them. I don't know. I don't understand it. I never encountered this. People in Ohio, everybody I ever met in Ohio with a dog coddles them.
Yeah.
Holds them like babies, puts them in strollers.
Yep. Spoon feeds them. Even if they have, like, perfectly fine teeth and are capable of eating themselves. Yeah, I, that's fucked up. And, shit. What I have going with this. I think it's because that they interpret dogs, pets, as first and foremost property.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we live in a nation that's obsessed with owning things anyway. And it sounds like it happens a lot in California. I've seen it happen other parts of the country I've been in, though, where people just treat dogs like shit.
Yeah. I think that it being a rural place has a lot to do with it, because people go, like, like, it's very rural and agricultural. So people go, I own this goat. It's my utility goat. I use it to make cheese. I own this cow. It makes milk and meat for me. Like, so they just go, oh, I own this dog, you know, too. Like,
yeah, this dog is my security system for the house, because fuck, if I'm going to pay somebody to hook up electronics around my property.
Yeah, so I think it has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and that's the worst. Like, that person should not be a pet owner. And you know, the dog's probably living a very miserable existence.
And it's up to me to kill it. So who's your pool partier for the week, Frisbee?
Party pooper, right? These are bad people.
Yeah, these are the party poopers. My bad.
Well, I'm sure you saw all the 24-hour news cycles bursting through the murderer's apartments on, what was it, Wednesday? Thursday?
I think that they went through the apartment yesterday, right?
Yesterday, yeah, Friday. Yeah, the shooting out in San Bernardino. I'm not even going to pronounce that city correctly.
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino, thank you.
Trending topic was spelled wrong for 4 days, but it's San Bernardino.
Anyway, yeah. San Bernardino had this horrific shooting, and news cycles decided to check out the apartment where the couple who did the shooting lived. And it's not just them, it's the fucking owner of the property is like, yeah, it's cool, come on in, all their stuff's in there, so, you know, enjoy. And they did. They were showing, like, these are journalists, man, in 2015, who are like, all right, here's a social security card, here's some pictures of kids who had nothing to do with it, but take a look because they're in this place, look at these kids, get a good look at these children's faces, because, you know, you see them on the street, you can say whatever you want to them and be like, hey, I saw you in the news in those murderers' house. How do you feel about that? Not traumatizing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck those people. Like, all of them. Everybody who thought that was a good idea. Like, I get it. If you're a journalist and you have an opening like that, you'd probably take it. I would probably take it in the same position, but fuck that. since I'm on the outside looking in, I can be like, you're awful.
Yeah, I think it was MSNBC, I think, that did that.
CNN started off with, I think, Inside Edition, which makes sense, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't.
That was the spearhead, and then everybody else was like, well, Inside Edition's doing it, then this seems okay. We're not Inside Edition. We're CNN or whatever. It doesn't. Yeah, any 24-hour news cycle is just so desperate and pathetic. It's like, God.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people from my work Twitter. I follow a lot of like journalists and stuff, and they were all making fun of those people who were doing that and equating them to Jake Gyllenhaal's character in Nightcrawler because he does that.
Oh, yes. The Love Letter to Los Angeles.
Yeah. Very good geographical film. And I thought that was very funny. Yeah.
They're calling them Jake Gyllenhaals.
Yeah. I thought those are good journalism jokes.
That's pretty good. But yeah, it was a really lame-ass week in general, but that was the one that I felt like talking about.
Yeah, that was pretty shitty of those journalists. I also, like, man, Twitter, after a shooting, Twitter gets real shitty for people, like, rooting for their team and, like, hoping that the shooter is one thing or another. That way it, like, backs up their ideologies. It's real.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's messed up, too. And now we're in this age where you can't, like, it's hard to tell people, oh, we should wait till all the facts are in. They used to mean something. And now it's like everybody's so insulted by that, with different varying reasons for having been insulted by that in the past, to this point where now everybody's like, fuck facts, this is who I hope the shooter is. And it's like, that's creepy as hell. Listen, people are dead. I don't know how to re-explain this to you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's folks that aren't coming back because, you know, bullets entered through their flesh and ended their lives. That's it. That's all we know for sure. And your hope, you're crossing your fingers that this person is a certain color. And that's real weird.
Yeah, man, it's wild.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, by the way. That's coming up soon.
Merry
Christmas to every boy and girl.
Yeah, man, it was just wild. Seeing half my Twitter hope it was one kind of guy and the other half hoping it was a different kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't even touch Facebook, man. Like, I didn't touch it this past week, and then I'm, you know, mostly done with Twitter, unless it's like you or Peter, whoever, or Josh, Rhea, just like, hey, you hear about this video game? Like, no, I didn't. Tell me more. That's all it is now from me. So I'm happy with that. I'm okay with this. Hey, who's your most valuable pool partier?
My pool partier, this might be kind of a short one because it's simple and to the point, but I watched this movie Mistress America last night, which is the new Noah Baumbach, and I like him a lot. And the star of this movie is a lady named Lola Kirk.
Uh-huh.
And she has kind of a lisp.
Yeah.
And man, girls with lisps are foxy.
Really?
Yeah, I like, it's kind of a rare thing. Like, I think most of the time you hear a lisp, it's like on a dude. But and I also heard it like somewhat recently on a podcast too, a girl with a slight lisp. And I don't know what it is about that, but I got my blood pumping, Mr. Frisbee. I was really into it.
Now I'm remembering a young woman I met in high school. While I was in high school, by the way. This is like last week.
Oh, yeah.
This is like when I was like 16, there was this young woman who transferred from Minnesota and had a lisp. I was just butter, melted like butter every time she talked. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like super cute. So like a little sexy. And maybe it's just like that it's very unique. And also this girl in the movie was like very cute to begin with. Maybe if she was like some sort of Ugg dog, I wouldn't be into it so much. But yeah, it was nice to hear. I'm going to watch this movie 100 times.
Cool. What was the name of it again?
Mistress America is very
good. How did you see it? Was it on Netflix?
It's on demand. Like it just came out.
You have to demand it.
Just I demand
pound the table and be like, Mistress America, and it'll appear right in front of you.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think I stole his last movie, Noah Baumbach, so I had to make it up to him and buy this one. So,
well, you're a good man.
You got my money.
My most valuable pool partier is Joey Ryan. He made an appearance on TNA Impact like years ago, but it was neither here nor there. He's been tearing it up in indie wrestling circuits, and he finally got some really great national exposure this past week that's been imitated on The Soup and everywhere else. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I have, yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was talking about it on a podcast town too. But good friend and old guest of the show, Phil, person I actually visit from time to time still, who's an avid reader of Deadspin, sent me the Deadspin article like back on Tuesday or something. And it was like some good old wrestling for you. And it was just that clip of Joey Ryan winning a test of strength in a wrestling match with, I think it was Danshoku Dino, this other kind of comical, not comical, but other Japanese wrestler, who had grabbed onto Joey Ryan's junk, and then Joey Ryan just flexed a lot, like Ultimate Warrior, and won the test of strength. And then somehow flipped this guy over on his back with the power of his junk, which I think is very funny and very good. And good for him, because now he's getting like all this national exposure. Ken Jeong and I think Patrick Warburton recreated it on The Soup. Chris Arneson, who was the show, got to see Joey Ryan live last night.
Oh, and nice.
He, again, Joey recreated it in a intergender wrestling match with Stacy Stitches. So nice. That's cool.
Yeah, that dude's rad. He like performs out here a lot, but it's usually in like San Francisco or LA, so I never go, but I always want to. He's pretty good.
He had photos of one of his dark matches at Lucha Underground, like between filming or before filming. He was definitely in the set. Yeah, but I like him too. And he does a web series called I think it's the Candace and Joey Show. He used to wrestle with Candice LeRae, and I don't know if they do anymore. I keep up with it sometimes, but not all the time. Mm. Yeah, but that's a good week for him. Very funny maneuver. Sells it. Both of them sell it very well. Danshoku and Joey. Like, they don't crack smiles or anything. They're just like, nope, I'm going to win this. And it's very good.
Yeah, one of my favorite wrestlers ever, despite the fact that I've only seen like maybe like 10 of his matches or something, is this guy named the Human Tornado. He used to be in like Ring of Honor and like
was he on WWE, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, you're thinking about somebody else. He was in like Gorilla Pro for a while. He had a thing where anytime anybody would like low blow him or like kick him in the nuts, like he would just stand there because like it did not affect him because he had brass balls, and like that was just part of his gimmick, and I thought that was funny.
That is pretty good. I like it when people are really talented in wrestling, and I love to check out those matches, but I also like it when people are just very good performers and very funny.
Yeah.
I like that Dalton Castle write-up you sent me from Rolling Stone. That was also very cool.
I thought you might like that.
Yeah, a guy who's got kind of a good balance of athleticism and humor, so that's good.
It's too bad the WWE stinks these days, because that Dalton Castle could be like the new Gold Dust on the right stage.
I'm telling you. Yeah, like that era where they gave Gold Dust a shot, like Dustin Reynolds appears in like that robe and fucking platinum blonde wig and takes the wig off, like that is just insane to watch some of those earlier matches, because you're like, how are they getting away with this? And you hear the crowd just chanting the F word and all this other shit. Like, it's real. It's unique. You're like, what the fuck? How did they do this? And yeah, now that we're kind of past all that controversy and everything, it'd be cool if they actually tried to do some other stuff that was unique and interesting. And he's going over so well with this character. That's the other cool part about it. Like, people love this guy. They love the Party Peacock.
I love his boys.
Who doesn't? They're handsome young men.
They're good. So I guess that's about everything.
No, we got this one other email. It's very short.
Oh, shit, you're right.
It's from Matthew. No subject, but he writes, PPR. Like One Punch Man, I also trained so hard that I went bald. That's it.
That's all. I'm glad he shared that with us.
Yeah. Keep training. Keep staying bald.
Keep punching.
Keep punching. Like when Punch Man, he's only mildly upset that he's bald. It's more about being the strongest person alive, which is pretty dang cool. So if you train that hard, then fuck. You must be one of the toughest bros around.
Yeah, I sent it to you, but some dudes made a character in Fallout that was One Punch Man that can't kill anybody with one punch, and I think that's very funny.
I don't think I saw it. Shit. I have to look back wherever you sent this, because I was going to ask if that was possible in Fallout 4 when you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I think it's like a status or something, like a video that I tagged you in. It's in there somewhere, but yeah, it's like some dudes made a One Punch Man and then made him fight like a bunch of Death Claws, which are like the scariest things in Fallout, and he beats them all in one punch. It's great.
That's so fucking great. Nice. Yeah, but yeah, that's all we got.
That's everything. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, email us, send us your dogs, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. We're still talking about dogs, you know? Still want to see their dogs. And accept no substitutes or imitations when it comes to reviewing dogs. We've been notified that there's a Twitter account out there that reviews dogs. But, you know, they're just trying to get our money, I think they're just trying to rip us off.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's trademarked or anything. This is our territory.
Yeah, stay out of our territory. We're Heisenberg when it comes to reviewing dogs.
That's right.
Also, we got poolpartyradio.com. Got episodes there. I think some of the episodes, the links are bad too right now. Some of the older episodes especially, because the place where we host our files is a piece of shit. And like sometimes they update our servers and it fucks up all our links.
It's totally free, but it's a piece of shit.
Totally. That's the downfall, though. Yep.
I have
rather have been paying $30 this entire time to avoid having to fix all of our fucking links, but I've been fixing them slowly but surely, so we should be all right. And it's older episodes. No one's listening to those anyway, so it's not too big of a deal. But if you encounter a dead link, that's why. We're in Podcast Town. Search Podcast Town on Facebook. We're all there. We're all chatting about stuff. We're all very good friends. And you can find our normal page on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Find us on Twitter, especially me, @FinalParker. Frisbee's not going to be doing any tweeting.
Oh, hell, I might tweet right now, but I don't know what about.
Oh, that would be nice. I like to see those tweets. Is there anything else? Am I missing anything?
I think that's about everything.
That sounds...
To be perfectly honest.
That's all of it. So, until next week, this is Parker for Cumulus saying thanks for having fun.
Goodbye.